Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Joel, in Joel 2:13, made an interesting and profound statement. He said, "Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." Rend your heart and not your garments. I always want to say, rent your heart and not your garments. Like, if you're going to rent your garments, I hope it's like your spare pair. Rent your heart. Isn't that what we do, though, sometimes? We rent God our heart. We say, you can use it so long as I'm getting what I want for it. And that it's yours as long as I'm getting mine. But then, if I'm not getting what I want, I evict him. Don't evict God from your heart. It should be like a title of the message. Don't evict God from your heart. It's not going to be, but could be. So the Word of God says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He is merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Is this your God? I mean, is this who you know God to be? Merciful and slow to anger and great kindness. I think there are some believers who do not know God in this way. Merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness. How often is it that we perhaps fail and now we're a little bit afraid of God? Like, okay, I'm going to get it now. We're afraid to come to church. Okay, I'm going to get it now. I know what I did this week. I'm going to get it now. Does that thought ever occur to you? Nobody here, I'm sure. God is slow to anger. And He is merciful. And He has great kindness. I think one of the things we really don't always get is that God is kind. We think He is righteous and holy and majestic, and He is. We think He is just, and He is. We appreciate the finished work. We appreciate grace, and we should. But in some ways, they are kind of at an arm's length from us because we don't know this one thing. He's kind. Like, despite the finished work, I'm a little afraid of God sometimes. I'm afraid to draw near at certain times. I feel like I have been carnal. I haven't gotten built up. And so now I'm a little afraid to draw near. Maybe I've withdrawn from the body a little while. And now I'm a little afraid to draw near. And so while I appreciate His grace and His finished work, I appreciate the knowledge of the fact that He is merciful, I hold Him at an arm's length because I'm a little bit afraid of Him. Because I a little bit don't trust Him. And though I trust Him in as much as being the Savior, though I trust Him in as much as He is God, I don't trust Him that He's not going to hurt me. I don't trust Him that He's not going to bring something in my life that is going to be just devastating or feel terrible to me because I know that what I did this week. And so I hold Him at arm's length. You know what the problem is that I have at that point? I don't know He's kind. Is your God kind? If He is not, then you have the wrong God. Because the Word of God says that God is kind. And so as I approach God, as I relate to Him, I have to relate to His kindness. I don't just relate to His mercy, I relate to His kindness. You see, His mercy says to me, oh, I'm okay. But His kindness is what brings me to Him. You see, in Jeremiah 31:3, God's kindness is what draws me. And the reason why I come to God is because He is kind. God treats me in a way that I really don't deserve to be treated. Has it ever happened to you that you freak out, get all ugly, like blow up, treat people like dirt, don't trust Him, and then all of a sudden what comes your way is kindness? And you're like, I don't get it a little bit. I don't deserve this. Why is kindness coming my way? Because God is kind. That's why it's coming your way. The person who is flipping out does not usually need my severity. The person who is flipping out usually needs kindness. And the very reason why they are flipping out is because they don't know that He is kind. They don't know that their circumstance is going to work together for their benefit because of that kindness. And so they are trying to keep Him at an arm's length. But the problem with keeping Him at an arm's length is not that I push Him away, it's that I step away. You see, God cannot be moved, but I can be. And if I don't know that He is kind, I'll move. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. They did not know that God is kind, and so they moved. In Luke chapter 6 and 35, the Word of God says that God is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. You see, those times when I have botched it, those times when I have failed, those times when I live in carnality, those times I'm like a demon personified, God approaches me with kindness. And with kindness, I get out of the place where I was. And with kindness, I'm restored. The kindness of God is irresistible. And so He draws me with loving kindness. In Isaiah 45 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of My peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee." Do you ever feel like you can remove God's kindness? A religious mentality will do this. It feels like God's kindness can be removed. If I'm doing great, God will be kind to me. If I'm not doing so great, God's going to spank me. Perhaps God will spank you if you've persistently rebelled against Him, but He's going to approach you first with kindness. He's first going to approach you with gentleness and tender mercies. God's going to overwhelm you with the kindness that He has for you. Why? Because it's His character. You see, when I'm thinking that God is unkind, I'm thinking He's not God. Because He is love in 1 John chapter 4 and in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the second characteristic of love is kindness. The first one is patience. So there is a mental attitude with a practical outworking, a practical manifestation. And really the two are one thing. Patience and kindness are simply different expressions of the same thing. One of them is an expression to my heart from God, patience, and the other one is an expression where the love of God is shed abroad into my heart and through my heart to another believer, kindness. Do you understand the value and the importance of the kindness of God? Do you see why Paul said to to the disciples that he was writing to be kindly affectioned one toward another. In other words, he's saying, show each other kindness. Why? Because you're showing each other the character of God and its practical expression. Patience is fine, but it's non-existent without kindness. You show me somebody who says, I'll be patient, but I'm not going to be kind, and I'll give you all the reasons why I'm not kind, and I'll show you someone who doesn't know what patience actually is. That type of a person usually is, I'm going to be very self-oriented in a religious mentality, elevating myself in human righteousness, saying to myself that that is patience, and I'm going to be condescending toward you and call it kindness. That's not kindness, that's arrogance. Kindness is the character of God expressed to another human being. And so I express the character of God in kindness. Why? Because He first expressed His character to me in kindness. It's not that God didn't send me to hell alone. It's that He didn't send me to hell and gave me a life and a calling and a gift and a promise and a provision. It's that He filled me with His Holy Spirit and put purpose into my life. He could have sent me into hell. Grace kept me from hell. But kindness gave me mercy. Did you know that the origin of kindness is mercy? It is. The origin of kindness is mercy. If I have the love of God, I will have kindness. Show me a person who is unkind, and I'll show you a person who is not filled with the Spirit, because there's no fruit of the Spirit in their life. You meet some of these Christians who've really been through it. Richard Warmbrand, for example, or his wife. You meet people who've suffered profoundly. And you know what their greatest characteristic is? That seems invariably to be so. In the world, you would think perhaps bitterness. But with Christ, it's profound kindness. The person who is unkind is the person who's never gone through anything. Kindness does not come with a self-orientation. Kindness only comes with a God orientation. Do you know what the... Okay, let's talk about a couple things in their relationship. There are three things. There is the cross, there is humility, and there is kindness. Humility is the expression of the cross in my life. Kindness comes when humility is expressed. Because in humility, I become filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit now flows. And so, without the cross and without humility, I will have no kindness. But if there is humility, because there is a cross, kindness will automatically be manifested. And so those three work together. This is why God is so profoundly kind. Because the cross is something He chose. That still blows my mind. Think about it. Do you get it? Think about it. They slapped the Savior. They whipped the Savior. They spit on the Savior. And they mocked Him. And then they nailed Him to the cross. That blows my mind. And his confession, "Father, forgive them." They don't know what they're doing. That blows my mind. He was God. Do you think that God will be any less kind to you when you approach Him with your worst possible failure? Do you think He will be any less kind to you when you approach Him with your worst possible mistake or weakness or insufficiency or insecurity or doubt? God is kind. He's kinder than I can grasp. And so sometimes I don't grasp that He's kind. But it doesn't change the fact that He is kind. It doesn't change the fact that no matter what state I'm in, I just come to Him. And He gives me, like with Joshua in Zechariah chapter 3, He gives me a new garment, a new life. He covers me with tender mercies. And He cleanses me with His blood. And He frees me from all the things that plague me, the sin, the insecurity, the doubt, the anxiety, the fear. He takes it all away. And He protects me from my enemy. And He fights my battles for me. And He calls me His beloved and the apple of His eye. Why? Because He is kind to the unthankful and unto the evil. And when I was yet a sinner, He died for me. I was counted as His enemy, and He laid down His life for His enemy. In the world, you try to kill your enemies. God died for them. This is the nature of God. Do you think He'll be any less kind to you? He's not unkind. He's very kind. In Psalm 42:8, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." In other words, in the daytime, in the times that are good, God will show me His kindness. And then in the times that are bad, I will have His song in my heart. In Psalm 92:2, God shows forth His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness in the nighttime. So when things are well, He pours kindness. And when things are going wrong, He pours faithfulness. Because faithfulness is the nighttime version of God's kindness. Do you understand? God won't leave you or forsake you. And He'll be profoundly kind to you. You see, if you just even remotely turn, He will reward you because you came to Him. In Hebrews 11. In Psalm 107 and verse 43, the Word of God says, "The person who is wise understands the loving kindness of God." If I have wisdom, then God's kindness flows into me. Why do I have wisdom? Because I understand God's kindness, His loving kindness. Did you know that loving kindness is a unique expression that was only used in the Scriptures? Did you know you don't find that term anywhere else? God coined that term as He inspired the writers to describe His attitude toward you. Terms like loving kindness or tender mercies, these are not terms you find in any writings anywhere else. But God had to invent words to express His heart toward you. And so he came up with loving kindness. Not just love, not just kindness, but a kindness that is saturated with the love of God. Tender mercies in another one. Not just a tender heart and not just mercy, but mercy that is saturated with tenderness. And this is God's heart towards you. In Jeremiah 9:24, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Notice he put loving kindness before judgment or righteousness. Because it was the loving kindness of God that inspired the finished work that gave man God's righteousness. So every approach that God takes toward me, even before He takes the approach of the finished work, which is the foundation of the Scriptures, even before, this is why the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, even before the finished work, God's loving kindness is toward you. God's loving kindness is thinking about you. It has a plan for your life and it has your circumstances planned out so that exactly what God wills for your life will come to pass. It's His loving kindness. And you may not know what He's doing or why He's doing it, but His loving kindness is towards you so you can relax in that attitude of God that no matter what it is initiated by God's loving kindness. God is kind. But profoundly kind. And it's not a human kindness. It's a kindness that comes from the heart of the Eternal Almighty. The one with all knowledge and wisdom and power. It is a kindness that I cannot comprehend, but I can rest in it. No matter what it is, He will always treat me with kindness. In Hosea 2:9, He betroths me unto Himself forever in righteousness and judgment and loving kindness and mercy. The fact that I am the bride of the Savior is the loving kindness and the mercy of God. But the amazing thing is, He is the one who chose me. Didn't Jesus say, I chose you, you did not choose me, I'm the one who chose you? He chose us as His bride. What was the heart behind that? Loving kindness and tender mercies. This is how God sees you. Think about it. How often do we do it that something happens and we don't think of God in terms of mercy and loving kindness and gentleness and goodness? We think of terms of punishment and justice and some form of harm because I blew it. But God doesn't meet me that way. He draws me with loving kindness. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God pushes me away. He does not. The only thing God does is draw. And He's drawing. And He's drawing. And if I fail, then He will leave the 99 behind and His loving kindness will pursue me. And it will bring me back again. It's the character of the Almighty. It's who He is. Why are you kind, God? He can't be any other way. It's who He is. You don't receive the kindness of God because you've done anything right or wrong. You receive the kindness of God because that's who God is. It's His character. It's His nature. It's not in God's nature to be unkind or harsh to the believer. It's not something that's in His repertoire of thoughts or skills or activities or behaviors. He will always approach you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Why? Because He's kind. Sometimes you meet somebody who's very kind and they're hard to understand. You don't get it. Like, why are you kind to me? And in our natural man, we can be very suspicious. Somebody's kind. Okay, what do you want? God wants your heart. I can't give Him my heart unless I know He is kind. God wants your heart. Sometimes we meet somebody like that and they change our lives. And though we may be unkind to them, they are always kind to us. Pastor Stevens was like that. Though they are unkind, they may receive unkindness. Though they may receive unkindness, they are always kind. Because that is their character. Because they have the character of God. And the beautiful thing is that in Ephesians 2:7, in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. So for all of eternity, God is constantly going to be expressing the abundance and riches of His kindness. And that's what we're heading for. That's what is ours. That is our inheritance. And in fact, it is our current possession. Amen.